doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my god, this is it, Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you for the Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.
Welcome to the Netball Show with Mizuno. I'm Sasha Shipway. It's wonderful being back on the netball court, but I'm not quite used to not shaking hands with my opponent yet. The elbow bump it is for now. In the week that Wales were confirmed ninth in the latest INF rankings, Welsh international Lydia Hitchens has been speaking as part of a transatlantic storytelling movie and sharing her journey, and we discover more about the netball switch. But first, we hear from former Seven Stars Becky Oatley ahead of a webinar she's taking part in next week, looking at dementia, sport and physical activity.
One of the first people that we ever gave a golden pass to was Stars Becky Orr. Do you remember it?
I do remember it. It feels like a long time ago now.
Brilliant. Becky, your head's probably been in PhD mode since the last time we spoke. What else have you been up to? Has that taken up all your time?
That's taking up a significant amount of time. I've still been getting out on my bike a lot, trying to keep myself active during the lockdown, because I guess that's a huge part of how I stay well, is kind of activity, and you certainly need that when you're spending hours and hours at a computer trying to write a PhD.
And your Mizuno trainers will still be treating you fine.
Yes, very much. They've been doing some, they've got some good miles in, lots of running recently, that's for sure.
I thought we'd get you on because you're going to be hosting a free webinar taking place on the 16th of July, and it's going to be looking at sport and physical activity, but with that dementia in mind as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I was really lucky that when I was playing for Seven Stars, I also started my PhD here at the University of Worcester, looking at the importance of sport and particularly memories of sport, whether that's playing sport, doing sport, watching sport, for people living with dementia. And I guess me being a netballer and kind of involved and very passionate about women's sport, I chose to specifically focus on how women affected by dementia could benefit from sport and sport-related memories. So that's where that's kind of come from, I guess.
It's vastly important to you, part of your PhD as well. So what are some of the initial things that you found?
The very first thing was that although sport reminiscence and sport memories is beginning to be kind of quite popular as an activity for people with dementia, it's very much focused on men. And that very kind of typical assumption that men like sport, and more often than not, that's actually men like football. But obviously one of my findings is that, guess what? There's lots of women who really enjoy sport and have played sport throughout their lives or been involved in different sports. And sometimes that is things like netball. I've met a lot of people who played netball many moons ago. But also sometimes that's in quite traditional male sports. There's a lot of women who've been involved in football, cricket, motor racing even. So I've got to meet some really interesting people along the way.
And when you were at Stars as well, you spent time with some of the walking netball ladies. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, that was great. They've been a real kind of help to me throughout my PhD. Although none of them, as far as we know, have a diagnosis of dementia, they were really useful for me in understanding a bit more about what it was like to be an older woman taking part in sport and how important that was. I mean, some of them shared some amazing stories, things like how one of them particularly taking part in netball has been an absolute keystone to how she's stayed well since her husband died nearly 20 years ago now. Another one was telling me that playing netball in the 80s is what helped her overcome poor mental health and problem with drugs. So, I mean, these amazing stories that just haven't ever seen the light of day, I think often because the focus of sport is on men and men's experiences. So, I've got to meet, like I say, some really interesting people.
Especially over the last couple of months, but with things being as they have been, maybe that anxiety has been heightened as well?
Yeah, I think certainly that's true. And certainly the COVID situation, I mean, it's impacted all of us, certainly. It's impacted everyone's mental health, I think, to some extent in a variety of different ways. But particularly for people, I guess, affected by dementia, these kind of sport-related groups, whether that's physical activity or whether that's a social group themed around sport, can be such an important part of their week and such an important part of their life that is not just enjoyable, but also helps them kind of maintain skills, maintain physical health, maintain social health. And COVID has kind of wiped all of that out. So there's I guess we're all experiencing kind of challenges and anxiety around the situation, but perhaps people with dementia even more so. And often a lot of them are obviously in the older age group as well. So a lot of them are even more isolated and have been shielding for a number of months. So how we come out of this and how we get back to some normality is kind of really important for these people, I guess.
And you know as well, just being part of the team and taking part in that physical activity, it's just maybe forgetting everything else that's going on for even a short while you're taking part.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I guess one of the other findings in my research is that although a reminiscence and kind of sporting memories is often about sitting around and talking to people, actually reminiscence can also be done kind of through doing. So you might actually, for an older person, you might do some netball, you might perhaps feel netball, play with the bibs, actually walk around and play the game. That for some people, that might trigger some really valuable memories from their past of things that were really enjoyable or things that they're proud of. But just as you say, equally, the actual physical movement might be a powerful and kind of valuable experience in its own right. And that's something, I guess, that they're missing out on at the moment if you're stuck in your house for kind of 24 hours a day.
You'll have been all right, though, with nice little places close by to visit on your bike.
Yes, certainly I have been very grateful for my bicycle, and I'm lucky to live in a place where I can get out into the countryside very, very quickly.
Thanks for agreeing to come on as well, because I think I sent you a message about 11 o'clock at night and I've still got no idea what day it is at the minute. So, yeah, thanks for that. Before it started, early on in this whole pandemic, I had spoken to a few people and I said that I'd learn how to cook and also learn Welsh. So I'll let you guess which one I'm good at now.
It's probably the same. It's probably the same one that I'm good at, and it's not the speaking Welsh.
Who's going to really benefit from this webinar? Who's it ideally for?
Yeah, I mean, the webinar, I guess my idea behind the webinar was that, you know, I'm doing this PhD. I've spent a lot of time on this research, and there's some really interesting stuff coming out of it. But really, the value in research is getting it out to the general public, is actually making a difference to what we do in everyday life. So this webinar is really aimed at people who are living with dementia or affected by dementia. This was aimed at practitioners in kind of sports and leisure, or maybe even care homes. So people who are running activities, people who've got relatives, anything like that, will find something in this research. It's not just me. It's also one of my colleagues who's done a lot of work around how people actually take part in physical activity in leisure centres. And there's some really interesting insight into, I guess, not just the specifics of sport memories or people living with dementia. It's kind of wider than that. It's about how we better support people as a whole in the community. And it should be presented in a way that's really accessible and understandable. So don't worry if you're kind of not in research, and don't be put off by the PhD. This is supposed to be about making our research accessible and interesting to everyone.
There's more information on at Dementia Studies on Twitter. You've retweeted it as well on your account. Remind us of the details again.
So it's Thursday the 16th of July, 2 to 3 p.m. It's free, totally free. You just need to register ahead of time, and there'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions as well.
Becky, brilliant. Thanks for popping on. I'll have to email you that pasta recipe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Lydia Hitchens took part in a transatlantic storytelling film on the Ball State Sports Link Twitter page, and it was produced in association with Cardiff Met. She's been telling them more about her netball career.
I got into netball through school, but it wasn't really a main focus of mine through education. And then I started with a local club in Cardiff, CTK, and from then it kind of spiraled. So I joined a women's club, played in a women's league, so it was a lot more physical. And yeah, I was kind of exposed to another level, and then it kind of just gradually built up from there. I was involved in inter-club tournaments, inter-county tournaments, and then Welsh Hub, which then fed into kind of the Wales setup. So I'd probably say about, I was age 15.
Netball is the leading female participation sport in Wales, and that's really important for our role modelling effect to try and increase the number of young women and young females that are part of this sport movement and to get them engaged.
The more we can show young women the sport and the fact that it's not just about exercises, like really enjoying it as well. That's massive. We have Netball Europe tournaments every year, so that's age groups and also with the seniors. So we've travelled kind of UK-based for that, Aberdeen, we've been to Northern Ireland and England as well, but then abroad we've been to South Africa, I've been to Durban. That was an amazing experience with the under-21 squad. Being able to see different cultures and to be somewhere that I maybe wouldn't have the opportunity of going because netball has taken me there, basically, so that's been really cool.
So Lydia played in the under-21s age groups for Wales. She was training with their group, I was training with the seniors, so we often kind of played against each other. I think immediately you could sense that she was going to have a future in a Welsh dress.
Susie is such a legend in the netball world. You know, she's a lecturer at Cardiff Met. She's our first team coach with the uni. But also, yeah, I train with her with Wales as well. So when she got her 100th cap, which is amazing, I stepped on court with her and I got my first cap. So that was really special. Yeah, and hopefully I can get to 100 like Susie.
Lydia stepped on the court in a senior Wales netball dress for the first time, which was so, so special because Lydia came back from an ACL injury.
It was the summer of the World Youth Games, the World Youth Cup. Yeah, selected for the team. I was so excited. It was a training game. I was playing at goal attack. I literally changed direction. My knee kind of caved inwards. And I didn't feel anything because I think people feel different things, but walked out of the sports centre and then the next morning I really started to feel it. So unfortunately, I did lose out on going to the World Youth Cup that year. So that was pretty devastating, but I spent a lot of hours in the gym by myself, which was really strange because we have S&C sessions where we're together as a group twice a week and then we have on-court sessions. So with each other all the time, so it was quite a lonely and dark place. But yeah, I just kind of was pretty optimistic about the whole thing, and I didn't want the knee injury to stop me. So I kind of, the first time I was able to get back onto court, you know, down the local Cardiff League, it was, yeah, it was a great feeling, quite emotional as well. I study textiles, but I specialise in surface design. So it's mainly drawing motifs, drawing sketches up in my sketchbook, and then I translate that digitally then, so it can produce like a print on fabric.
The creativity that she shows in her art degree and her, doing her textiles, I actually think she brings some of that onto the court as well. Her flair that she probably demonstrates in the textiles and what the work that she does. She actually does it in a different way to others on the court, so I think that's fascinating.
I did my dissertation on fast fashion and consumer habits. basically fashion you see on the runways and at big fashion weeks. The looks are then copied and sold for lower prices. So obviously it's so accessible for us, but realistically, like, the garments don't last and it hasn't got that quality that it would at the high end. It does make you realise how much fast fashion brands are so accessible to us. You know, things are cheap, it's great for students, but we kind of need to realise what it's doing to our planet as well. So my next step is to get into a job, maybe a graduate job, and to network and see how a business runs. But I would eventually like to start off on my own and set up a business on my own. So yeah, I definitely would say netball would help me, because netball's really helped with my networking and confidence to approach people. I hopefully see myself focusing on a business that's kind of related around sustainability.
Life can be a bit of a handful.
But what do you do?
Let go?
Or grab on to everything it has to offer?
Ask yourself, do you back down when things get tough?
Or confront them, breasts on?
Do you give up or give it hell?
Do you ignore your amazing boobs or fearlessly check them regularly?
We thought so.
This is Grabbing Life by the Boobs.
So grab regularly and check out any changes.
It could save your life.
Search Copperfield, Grab Life.
For the first time in my playing career, I've been able to play pain-free and completely focused on my game.
I found a shoe that makes me feel close to the court and in control of my movements.
After a long history with bad injuries, it's a relief to have found a shoe I feel confident in playing with on court. That's why I love the Wave Phantom. That's why I love the Wave Stealth.
That's why I love the Wave Mirage.
Welcome back, it's the Netball Show with Mizuno. We've been finding out more about the Netball Switch with Leona.
So, the Netball Switch birthed out of this idea of me wanting to put on essentially like a summer tournament for those within my community just to kind of try netball for the first time, give it a go. Then COVID-19 kind of hit and I was like, okay, no summer tournament, but instead maybe I can build a sort of community and get people talking about netball, and that's how the Netball Switch came about. So essentially, our three aims is to get women based within East London more active, more social, and feel empowered through playing netball. So over time, we're going to be putting on virtual events, so like fitness sessions, a few netball quizzes, a few social like chats here and there, and then hopefully once COVID is all over and lockdown is lifted, we can get some practical sessions in, get people trying netball and see if it's a thing that, you know, they might want to pursue or get involved with.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds brilliant. So how important do you think community is when it comes to sport and netball? How closely are the two things linked, do you think?
100%. Definitely. Even just with the idea of team, you're essentially like a mini community, and even in regards to like a club. So within your club, you've got your teams. They're the people you play with, you hang with post-game. Even not on court, you're having like banter off court as well. Then you've got that community like element in regards to club. So the support from like coaches, like team captain, it's amazing. So if I can kind of create this, the way I feel when I'm playing for my club, for like women within my community, get that sort of feel with how I feel when I'm playing netball, that would be amazing. Like that would be exactly what we want the Netball Switch to be creating, essentially.
Well, that sounds excellent. Why do you think netball is the thing to bring joy to the community? What is it about netball that you think these women will, you know, enjoy so much and get so much out of?
Well, that is such a good question. I've just always loved playing netball, and I love the way it makes me feel, the joy it's brought me playing, like on court, off court, the friendships I've made. So to be able to provide that opportunity is really important for me. And I want women to feel like, especially women of like ethnic minority, I want them to feel like, you know, playing sport isn't scary, and they're people who, you know, look like you, who are playing netball already. So why not create some sort of figure or like, you know, role model that you can look up to who's playing netball and think, actually, this is something I can do. It's a sport I can get involved in. I think netball is just a great way of like trying to create that sort of opportunity. We all played netball whilst at school, and then suddenly, you know, we just stop. So why are we stopping? Let's continue. It's good fun.
Yeah, 100%. And like you say, representation is such an important thing here. And I think that's something that's massively lacking in lots of areas. What other kind of barriers do you think women and women of colour particularly face when it comes to getting into sport?
Like you said, Natalie, like definitely, I think we're getting there, but I still don't think there's enough representation in regards to particularly like Black women, ethnic minorities, like brown women as well. Like, who can I look up to who looks like me and is playing a sport that I love? I always think in regards to like, you always typically have like the Black creative, but you never really have like, you know, the Black woman that's playing sport and absolutely smashing it. And I'd love to see like more discussions on that and more women just feeling like, actually, perhaps, you know, sport is something I've always been curious and wanting to like dip my toe into. Where do I start? Oh, the netball switch is something that I can look into. I'd love to get involved with it. And yeah, so it's all about representation, and that's why communities like Netball Switch is important, so that we can get more women, especially women of colour, ethnic minorities, getting sort of this, building this community, getting more women playing sport, and then kind of building up from there and just seeing more representation on social media, online, just in regards to like community as well, like as a whole.
100%. Yeah, that sounds like a really good aim to have. And then just finally, Leona, what is your kind of hope for the Netball Switch in the future? Where do you want to go with this? How big is it going to get?
How long's a piece of string? I'd absolutely love to see like grow, blow up. I would love to just get women talking more about netball. If we can get some sort of annual tournament, that'd be amazing. More influencers per se getting involved with the sport and showing us regular folk how cool it is to play netball. That would be amazing. But you know, we'll start small and see how we go. But I have got a good feeling about this, and I'd absolutely love to just encourage more women to just like give us a follow on socials, talk to your friends about it. And again, it's all just about like community and working together to see where we can take it, essentially. So yeah,
keep a close ear on the Netball Show feed from the 12th of July. It's about to get a lot busier because we will be reliving the 2019 Netball World Cup. And as the only UK netball podcast providing daily updates from the tournament, we'll be rewinding our daily podcasts. It's a special chance to remember the events as they happened, and we had such a good time going back and bringing you these memories, so we hope you enjoy them. Thanks as always for your support. Our DMs are open. We're online at The Netball Show.
I will be doing my very best each day to get the best out of those around me, and I take great pride in leading this country.
One minute I've got tears coming down my face, and then I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Monster had taken over me, and it was pure elation.
It was a real honour to be asked to be assistant coach for Sirens. It's something I take very, very seriously, and I really hope that I can have a big impact.
I'd like to think that I'm a vital part of this team, but I'm not the team, and I understand that.
A huge thank you for The Netball Show. You really have helped England Netball take our message to new audiences.